Next celebrity. Well, we might as well say it. She's a celebrity, all right. She's been on the program for a number of times, and not only here, but on the ABC and Channel 31, even country stations, a best-selling author. Also, she is a speaker as well and a broadcaster, international best-selling author, speaker, and also licensed estate agent and an advocate. So she's everything. So you couldn't get a better person to be on the program, talk about property today. So good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Norma. I'm very well. You make me sound very busy.
Well, you are, aren't you?
I actually am really busy, but loving real estate as always.
Yes, absolutely. And there's always something happening, and it never seems to stop with things that we need to talk about. But let's start off with midway through the year 2024. How are things shaping up for the spring selling season? And that's just probably, what, 8 weeks away, if I'm not mistaken, roughly?
Correct. It's not long. It's considered to be basically September. So yes. We're mid-July now, so 6 to 8 weeks. So it is the time when people start thinking about getting their homes ready for the spring selling season, which kicks off September. So it is not far away, even though it's blowing a gale out there and it's freezing.
Yes, exactly. So how has it sort of fared up at the moment, you know, the first 6 months auction clearance rate? How does it seem to be for you in the industry?
Yes, there is still what I would consider to be a shortage of stock. So there's more people wanting to buy houses than there are available homes. And the auction rates at the moment do tend to support that, because this week the auction clearance rate, look, on lower numbers, we only had 484 auctions against 517 last year. So wow. It's sort of tracking. We're at 83% clearance rate. Last week it was 79. Last year it was 78. So when we're into the 70s and the 80s, we're at 83, you're into a seller's market. When it flips down into sort of the 60s, that's when you're in a buyer's market. So it is a very strong seller's market, and it is basically because there is a lack of stock at the moment. But what I found interesting in relation to the house prices and what they're doing, particularly here in Melbourne. So nationally, like across all of Australia, there's an upswing of 0.7% across all of the states and territories of Australia. And most of the other major cities, you know, talking Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, they're all going up. Melbourne is going down. It's actually trending down. And for the month of June, it was down 0.2%. And for the quarter, so a good portion of this year, it's down 0.6%. But it is still up 1.3% over the past 12 months. But it's, when I was looking at this thinking, right, it's interesting because Melbourne normally follows what Sydney does, and Sydney is on an upward trajectory and Melbourne doesn't appear to be. So that's very interesting, I thought.
Very interesting. Yes, because it's normally the other way around, isn't it?
It is. Well, Sydney kind of leads the charge, and their prices are, and we are getting inquiries from a lot of people from Sydney because they just can't afford Sydney anymore. And so they're coming and looking to Melbourne to buy and invest in down here. But Melbourne listings, interestingly, have risen 14% above the five-year average. And I think my spidey senses tell me that this is because of all of the additional costs of ownership, all the taxes and everything that are constantly being piled on Victorian homeowners, property investors, that it is getting so expensive and more people are looking and putting their homes on the market to sell them.
Yes, I think you're right by saying that, and it is very. I mean, Sydney's always been a very expensive place to live, even, you know, for the young ones too, just to get into the marketplace. But now it is ridiculous, and also Melbourne is really struggling. There's not enough homes up for sale, and
there's not enough homes up for sale, and builders are going under, and the cost of trades and materials
It's hard.
Government promising to build houses and then failing in that endeavour. Mm. There's all these factors that are all dovetailing into the situation we're seeing right now.
Yes, and look, you know yourself, and I know, when they're wanting to build homes, some builders can build a home within a month or 6 weeks, and I don't understand why the government is not building more homes, because it doesn't take that long to put them together, and it can happen. So we'll just wait and see. But I think my next question to you is the rental crisis. This seems to be a very hard situation for a lot of people now, and things don't seem to be getting any better at the moment. And the Victorian government recently announced even more costs for landlords with their new minimum rental standards. So tell us, what's all that about now?
Look, the rental crisis is just going to get exacerbated by all of these things that the government is doing, the Victorian government, with the additional taxes. So, and add to that the new minimum standards that they've announced, which is just going to add even more cost to the ownership of a property for a property investor, which is your rental provider. And they basically have generally two to three decisions to make here. Number one, they can make the property compliant with what the government is wanting them to do. And there was a cost, and it's not an insignificant cost to do that. So they can either wear that cost, or they can pass the cost on to the renter, or they can sell the property. They're basically the things that are in the mix at the moment. So the thing people need to understand is most people that have an investment property, they're not your big wigs that have these massive portfolios. They are literally your mum and dad investors that might be having their own home that they also have a mortgage on that they're paying, and then they've got one other investment property, which generally is negatively geared, so it's already they're having to put money out of their pocket into that to keep it. Now you look at all these other additional costs that are being added on, and if they can't weather that storm effectively and cover those costs, which is why they are passing those costs on to the renters, it's not because they're money hungry and they're just thinking this is a good opportunity to gouge the renters, let's build more money. In many circumstances, it's their last-ditch effort to even hold that property, because otherwise they've got to sell it because they can't afford it. And this is what is happening, why many, many properties, investment properties, are coming on the market now, because we've talked about land tax previously, and land tax now has gone up a lot, an absolute lot. And that's just one of the additional costs. And now we've got these minimum standards. And the government came out and said, oh, it won't cost more than $5,500 to do it, and you don't you can do it with things being end of life, etc. But their costings, I looked at the costings they estimated. They're saying hot water system for $361. Well, I'd like to see where you can get someone to come and install a hot water system, let alone pay for the unit for $361. It's just off the charts. And one of the other things that I wanted to talk about, which I don't know whether landlords or rental providers are aware, is back in 2021 when the government first announced the changes to the rental standard, which was dozens of changes that rental providers had to include, including the name, moving the name from being a landlord to a rental provider, was they changed the laws around the reasons how you can ask a tenant or a renter to leave your property. And I don't think many people understand the implications of that.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So how do we make more sense of it?
Well, so the new rules, that's why I wanted to mention it today. Because because we buy lots of properties for clients, but we don't generally deal with the rental management side of things. But there was all these new changes that came in. So there's no longer that used to be able to give 120 days, no reason, if you wanted to get your house back, all good. They actually removed, the government removed that as a reason. So now the rental provider must give a valid reason to end a rental agreement. And they're quite limited and strict, these reasons. There's basically three reasons. Number one, you're selling the property and you must provide a signed sales authority with the notification to vacate to the renter. Number two is a change of use, which is either demolition of the property or renovation. And we're talking about major renovation, and you must provide quotes and things as evidence that you are going to renovate the property in order to ask the tenant to leave. And then the third thing is where you or a family member is moving back into a property, and then if that's the circumstance, you are not allowed to re-rent that property for at least 6 months. And they're the only basically the reasons, the main reasons that you can ask someone to leave your property. But the other thing I found absolutely fascinating was there's now, they're limiting the use of end of term, fixed term notices to vacate. So what that means is that if you put a renter into your property, let's say you've got a new renter going in and it's their first lease, so it might be a 6 month lease or generally it's a 12 month lease, you have to give them, if someone is in a 12 month lease, you must give them 90 days notice before the end of the lease if you wish them to get them to vacate the property. If they're in a 6 month lease, you must give them 2 months notice. Mm. If you miss that window, so let's say someone is in a 12 month lease and it's now 70 days, so you've missed a 90 day window, you actually can't ask the tenant to leave the property because it's only valid for the first 12 month lease of them being in. Once they've been in the property for longer than that, other than those other three reasons, you're selling it, you're renovating it, demolishing it, or you're moving in yourself, you actually can't ask the renter to leave anymore from the property.
Oh, wow. I'm sure a lot of people are not aware of that.
They're not aware of that, and it's only coming to light for people where they are, for whatever reason, that they might not be happy with a renter that's in their property, and they're talking to their property managers, or they're looking to sell it or whatever. And that's when they're finding out about these things.
Wow. Well, that's certainly strong information there. So really, I'll just go over that just to make sure that I've got it right. If you're leasing a property for 12 months, you need to give at least 3 months' notice.
Right.
And if it's 6 months, at least 2 months' notice. Anything over the 12 months, after what you've mentioned, those other five that you're renovating or selling or
yes,
then that's... you're probably okay, but anything apart from that, wow. So, gee, it sounds like it's a rentals paradise in a way, isn't it?
Well, and this is what is the challenge now for anybody that owns an investment property and is looking to rent it. The dial has been moved.
Oh, big time.
Absolutely. In favour of the renter.
Yes.
And that may sound all well and good when you're a renter. However, with all the other flip of the coin is of all these expenses and taxes that the government is mandating that your rental provider pays for, it's become unaffordable for them.
Mm.
And so that's why properties are being sold. And we talked about the rental crisis and why it's getting exacerbated. One of the main reasons is that once a property is sold, and if it's been rented, there is a high probability that it will not come back into the rental pool because it will be purchased by a home buyer. Purchased by a first-time buyer, and I know this is happening because we're doing it. We are buying properties for our clients who are first-time buyers. And so there are fewer and fewer homes in the pool for people who wish to rent them. Mm. And people rent for all types of reasons. It might be by choice, lifestyle, location, but oftentimes people rent because they, for their own circumstances, are not in a position to be able to satisfy
the bank,
the borrowing lenders. Criteria for the lenders.
Yes, absolutely.
What happens to those people?
It's tough. So at least that's great information, and I hope our listeners are grasping all of that because they might be renters themselves. And even if you own a home, hold on to it. And, I suppose you need to be very cautious now, and I think any time you are wanting to buy a property or buy another property like leasing, always get a solicitor, a commercial solicitor involved to read all the fine lines because, it can be quite intricate and tricky too. So what do you see happening with availability with rentals?
I see fewer rentals being available and people may even pop their, let's say they've got a long, so you've got the long-term rental market, which is putting people into 6 month, 12 month plus leases. Mm. You've also got the short-term rental market. And you, I think you'll start to see possibly people moving their properties from the long-term rental market into the short-term rental market, because you can sometimes, depending on the regulation, you can avoid some of these challenges that are out there.
Mm.
So they seem to be legislating more and more to tell you what you can do with your own asset, but they're not, they don't want to help you pay for it, but no, they're happy to tell you what to do with it.
Gee, it's, yeah, well, you know, this is why we need the experts and people like yourself to make, you know, people aware of what is happening out there. And so if you are a person that has a few properties, or you're wanting to perhaps think about, or, you know, I wouldn't mind buying an investment property, but I'm a little bit, dubious about the new implications now. Well, you know, it's always very important to speak to the right people, but then you might say, well, who are the right people? Well, we're talking to one right now. So today, if you are listening, a free ebook on the website is available. Yeah, you can go to the Chamberlain Advocates .com.au/northwestfm, or you can make an inquiry, and please do. You can inquire at Chamberlain Advocates, all one word, .com.au. And it is so important to get the right understanding of what one needs to do when buying and selling. Wendy, you've got a new podcast now called Property Mama, Adventures in Real Estate. How's that going for you?
Norma, I am having so much fun sharing all the shenanigans with my property mama. So I've been buying and selling real estate for almost 3 decades, and we deal with all kinds of emotions on all sides, buyers, sellers, real estate agents, and that's what I share each week as part of my podcast. I share whatever the latest adventure is that I've dealt with, and there's always something fresh and exciting to talk about.
And
great fun.
And that's on every Wednesday on Facebook around about 1 o'clock?
That's right. On Facebook, Instagram, across all of my social channels at 1 p.m. on a Wednesday, you can watch it live. And then we have it as the podcast, which gets released. A new podcast episode drop 11 a.m. every Friday. So
oh, fantastic.
You can grab the podcast wherever you listen to it.
Yeah. Also, too, I'm really pleased to say, too, you've got an online mentoring program, and this is very good, especially for first home buyers or people wanting to get into the real estate property. So how's that all going for you and getting people there to watch and to listen and to educate?
Yes. I've designed that specifically for those who like to learn at their own pace and digest each of the modules that we provide for you. And it's designed to build on your home buying muscles as you go through each of the modules in the program. And it is for, you can do it in those pockets of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have basically taken all of my experience in real estate and put it into this mentoring program for you, that you can step-by-step self-paced learning on how you can get confident and buy yourself a home.
Fantastic. Well, we'll need to wrap it up shortly anyway now. But if you are wanting more information, please go to inquire@chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And you can also go to chamberlainadvocates.com.au and have a chat to Wendy or give her an email. And also, you can also get a free ebook on the website. Just please go to chamberlainadvocates.com.au, Northwest FM. Well, Wendy, you have a great afternoon. Thank you so much for your time. And just very quickly, having a buyer's advocate and a selling advocate, just very quickly, what's the reason?
Well, we're independent and we are in your corner. So sellers work with real estate agents. If you're buying a property, who's representing you? That's where we come in. We are there, and I know I can find you a home.
Yes, absolutely. Well, over 30 years of experience, and as you said, you certainly know the shenanigans.
I do.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, and you've seen a few. So it is important to be able to be assessed by the right person to do the right thing by you. Well, Wendy, have a great afternoon. Enjoy this lovely wintry, windy weather this afternoon, and we'll be speaking again very soon.